You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
The struggling and the weary. So if that's you today, then don't worry. God's still here for you, okay? Now, this preacher, it took me a long time, maybe you can imagine, to really get started with it, but we've got a faithful God. And as I was preparing and researching and praying about it, God has been teaching me so much about this topic of hope. Not so much in that I could write tomes and tomes on the subject, but so much in that I'm starting to understand. Do you know what I mean? And I'm still on that journey. I'm not on the destination, if you like. So you'll have to forgive me this morning, because I think as I'm talking to you, largely I'm actually going to be mulling over what I'm learning at the moment, okay? So I'll be addressing you, but really maybe I'm just talking to me. And you're welcome to come and listen into my ramblings and come on this journey with me. We're talking about Holy Spirit, giver of hope. The Holy Spirit is wonderful. He really brings things to life. It's marvelous. We have the Bible, which is so full of wonderful stories and statements and teachings and wisdom and so on. But if it's just that, it kind of remains just theology, something anybody could study. It doesn't really mean anything, but we don't just have the Bible. We have the Bible and we have the Spirit. And the Spirit kind of brings the Word to life. It makes it sort of real in us. If we really want to understand the Bible, if we want to understand God's heart, we can only really do that through the Spirit. Now, we will look at a passage in the Bible, but before we do that, I thought maybe it's a good idea just to think about the Holy Spirit a little bit more, because I don't know what you think. Maybe you think the Holy Spirit is a bit weird, maybe, or maybe you're thinking, well, I know that the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, part of the Godhead, but what's that got to do with me? How does that relate to me here today? Well, I want to have a very, very quick look at some of the things that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit in terms of us. Now, this is going to be a quick whistle-stop tour. It's not going to be an in-depth study. So just strap yourself in, tune in, because I'm going to rush through this a little bit to set up what we're going to talk about in a moment. Okay. So the Holy Spirit was sent by God, sent into this world which seems so messed up and wrong, full of pain and suffering and injustice. Sent into this world to reveal and convict us of the source that leads to all of this mess, that is sin. But for those of us who believe, he dwells in us. He lives in us. He guides us in truth. He speaks what he hears from the Father so we can know the Father's heart. He gives wisdom. He gives power. He brings revelation, not just a deeper understanding of a topic, but a deep knowing of what God wants us to know. He helps us in our weakness, and I've really known that recently. He sanctifies us day by day, knocking off those bits of our lives that just don't make up what we should be in terms of what God wants us to be in, and he shapes and forms us into who he wants us to be. He gives out spiritual gifts for the building up of the church. He brings us into new life now and gives us eternal life. He is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And he enlightens us to the hope to which we are called. The Holy Spirit is wonderful, isn't he? Without the Holy Spirit, this Christian walk is drudgery. It's one step forward and two steps back. It's a slog. It's a grind. It's an effort-based path to nowhere, really. But with the Holy Spirit, this Christian walk is marked by love, joy, and peace. It's not the absence of strife and trouble, but he's with us. First, Jesus was sent into the world to live among us and be tempted, and then to die for us. And now the Holy Spirit is sent to be with us. We are not alone. And I think it's important to understand these things, because as we go on to look in this passage in the Bible, I want you to know that the Bible isn't just theory, because there's the Spirit too, which is life-bringing. And when we read things in the Bible, it's by the Spirit that God can make this real in our lives, not just something that's on a page that's distant for us. So this is the passage I want us to look at, which is in Romans 8. It says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." It's just an amazing passage, I think. Starts out by saying, for those of us who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Now, I don't know what word you might use for us, these people here gathered today in Weydon School. Maybe you'd describe us as churchgoers. And that's fine, yeah, but it's a bit woolly, a bit pathetic, isn't it? And it kind of just gives the idea of people who's happy to waste a couple of hours on Sunday morning. What about the word Christians? Well, that's fine, you know, I'd use that term. But it kind of has the feel maybe of a bit of a club or something like that. What about the word believers? Well, I think this is getting better now. I like this term, and I'd certainly use this term, and it's biblical, because it gets to, you know, a people who are not just paying mental assent to a dusty book, but are really basing their lives on something. But here it has this term, children of God, and I love this term. When we use the term believers, if we perhaps are thinking about it in slightly the wrong way, maybe, you could think about that as it's all about our faith, in terms of how much faith we have rustled up ourselves. But children of God, I think this really gets to the heart of our identity, how God sees us. Because if this, in terms of hope, if this Christian walk is based, you know, on my own efforts, if it's based on how holy I pretend to be, then there's no hope for me. If it's based on how many hours I study the Bible and the quality of my Hebrew or Greek interpretation, then really there's no hope for me. If it's based on the eloquence of my prayers, then there's no hope for me. But if it's based on the fact that I am God's child, then there is hope in that. Because if I screw up, he doesn't. He's perfect. He forgives. He takes me as I am. There's hope. Because although in this life, in this world, there is suffering, God knows. And he knows the beginning from the end. There is hope because he knows me now and he has a place for me. There is hope. The passage then goes on and says this, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship." The first bit here, it says, Almighty God, you know, doesn't make me a slave. And actually, if I really think about that, why shouldn't he? He's the creator of the universe. He's Lord Almighty. He's supreme. Why on earth shouldn't he make me his slave? He's every right to. But it says he doesn't. I think he wants us to give our hearts and give our hearts freely. It's not about fear. It's about freedom. But I think this verse is really interesting, the way it's set up. It's like a kind of pivot, if you like. It starts out by saying, you know, it's not about slavery and fear, but rather, and if I was writing this, I'd probably just balance that with just the opposites of those. Not slavery and fear, but rather I don't know, freedom and positivity. But it doesn't say that. Now, of course, we are brought into freedom, but the counterpoint in this verse here to this thing about being slaves and fear is we're children of God. We're adopted. And I thought it was just interesting, and I really kind of wrestled with that. Why is that verse written in that way? And I was thinking, well, maybe it's because slavery to think, sin we might think of. And I can try really, really hard to live a really, really good life, and I'll just about get by. And with fear, I can put on a brave face and have a stiff upper lip and just try and pretend that everything's fine, all out of my own efforts. But I guess what I hear God saying here is I don't care about any of that. I don't care about your efforts. I have chosen to adopt you, and that is what matters, not your efforts. You might have all sorts of questions about all sorts of specifics of things that are going on in your life right now. But God's answer here is you are my child. There's such comfort and such hope in that. And I think for me, that's one of the things that I've really learned. I've got all these questions, all this list. What about this? What about this? What about this? God's answer is just, you're my child. You know, I've got it sorted. Just come into that. Why? Well, because we might have all these specific questions, and we might have a specific question answer. It'd be like whack-a-mole, and another problem, another trouble come up somewhere else. You whack that, and another one, you whack that. They'll be endless. But I'm his child, and I'm always his child. We'll always be his children. And that, for me, is why that's such an answer and such a hope. And how did we become his children? Well, in this passage here, it says it's the Holy Spirit that brought that about, that adoption. The Holy Spirit is so integral to bringing hope. It can sometimes feel that my world is falling apart around me. But the Holy Spirit brings it about that I am God's child. There's a solidness and a certainty to that, isn't there? And the passage goes on beyond what we might just think of the moment of salvation, the moment we became God's child. The Holy Spirit gives ongoing hope. Because it says, and by him being the Holy Spirit here, by the Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, this personal address to God that's scandalously intimate. Not sir, not your majesty. It's not by any lack of formality or lack of respect that we can meaningfully say this, Abba, Father. It's by the Spirit that we can say this. We are his children, he is our Father, and we can call him Abba. Now, in my situation, when I reflect, did I really cry, Abba, Father? So I think, really, I just bottled it up. Tried to cope in my own strength. And how did I feel? Utterly hopeless. This word hope in the Bible, actually, I quite struggle sometimes to really understand this word hope because it gets mixed up with wishing and so on. But I find it helpful, and maybe you will too, to think of the opposite in terms of understanding hope. So the opposite of hope being hopelessness. And hopelessness is not just about things going wrong around us. It's when there's no answer. That's what hopelessness is, really. Ephesians 2 puts it this way. Remember that at that time, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. Without God, we are hopeless. There is no answer to the things that are going wrong. That's real hopelessness. But here, we have the Holy Spirit who's brought about our adoption as his children. I am his child. He is my Father. On my best day, I can cry Abba. And on my hardest day, I can cry Abba. I am in his hand. He knows my situation and he is in control. That's hope, isn't it? And because of that, I can join the psalmist and say that even though I walk through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death, all these things going wrong, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. I can't truthfully say this in myself by rustling up my own hope. It's by the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I was going to leave this passage here, but I couldn't. The last verse, which is here, which is verse 17, I couldn't not do this one. This last verse, I just think, is utterly ridiculous. It is utterly crazy. It says this: "Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." I don't know about you, but for me, it's just crazy, this verse. It's ridiculous. And I said before that the Holy Spirit brings about revelation, and I just pray that he deepens my revelation of this verse. I cannot get my head around it, and I just pray you'd somehow help me get my heart around it. So we've already talked about how we're his children, but how God actually adopted us. So it's not like he was kind of lumbered with us, but he's kind of chosen to adopt us. But is that just a kind of a nice thing he's saying, just to make us smile or whatever? But it says that we're heirs. He really means it when he says he's adopted us. That means we're going to inherit something. That is eternity with him in glory. But as I read on, it makes me uncomfortable, really, reading this. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Like, what? That we might share in his glory. This is utterly... Maybe you get it, but I cannot get my head around it. It is just amazing. And if you read further down in this passage, it talks about how Jesus would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Co-heirs with him. He's our brother. This is... I'm not going to fully unpack this now because I can't. I don't fully understand it. But what I do understand of it makes me just think, what a hope. What a hope. It is crazy. It's a hope beyond our own efforts because I can't get my head around it. What a hope. I want to finish with the verse, which is actually the same as the verse today, which you can pick up in the basket in a minute. It says this: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." It doesn't matter your situation. It doesn't matter your weakness. I pray that wherever you are, God's Holy Spirit would come and fill you to overflowing with hope. Amen. I'm going to ask Nathan if he and the band would come up. And as we're singing, as we're worshiping, I'd like you just to spend some time praying with God. Come up, take some communion here. Maybe pray by yourself, maybe pray with those around you. But maybe you want to come and pray with us here at the front, and that's fine. Perhaps you've got a situation like me that you've just bottled up and bottled up and bottled up, and you've never come and said, "Abba, Father, I've just given it all to him, relied on him." If that's you, come and pray with us up here. We'll be a few people up here to pray. Maybe you feel that once you had a hope and then there was a glowing ember and now there's just nothing. You've maybe lost your way. You've taken your eye off that hope somehow. It's all gone out. Again, if that's you, come and pray with us here. We'd love to pray with you. Amen. Praise God.
Thanks, Dave. Wasn't that wonderful? Thanks for being vulnerable with us, and just really wonderful, impactful message. I'm going to invite Chelsea to just come up. While Dave was preaching, she shared something with me that I think will be helpful for everyone. Give Nathan a bit of time to get his things together.
We've just come back from America, and the jet lag for all of us, but especially for the little kids, has been so disorientating, just feeling like all their rhythms and routines have been completely on their head. And just in the worship earlier, I didn't know what Dave would be speaking about, but I just felt like there were some people feeling, in terms of their faith, almost spiritually disorientated, like they've lost their center or their point that used to hold them, you know, whether it be because of circumstance or a change in perspective or worldview, that something has thrown you, that you are feeling in terms of your spiritual walk or your walk with Jesus, that everything is on its head. And I so appreciated Dave's message and his honesty this morning, that I think it, you know, we all go through those times. And just wanted to read one scripture that stood out to me in Hebrews 6, which says, "Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us." So I just feel this morning as we take communion and spend a moment in worship that God is here, and the Holy Spirit is wanting to bring that hope that Dave has spoken about and anchor us again, where you're feeling disorientated in your faith, that he can anchor you. And in a moment with him, he can anchor you again.
Thank you. Would you like to stand?